Next up is Flub Ub 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 with Lost with the Plant People.
Wait, what?
Yes, Lost with the Plant People.
Lost with the Plant People.
That's what I have on mine, too.
It's not Olimar's
theme?
Not a
whole paragraph.
Wait. I think on the Bandcamp it's different.
Oh.
On Bandcamp it's Olimar's theme.
What Micah sent through us, or what I've just typed out, is Lost with the Plant People.
Same here. Let's just go with Lost with the Plant People.
How dare you?
No revisionism here.
Now, I'm going to start out here with a question for you both.
Okay.
Did you notice that this music was familiar?
Yes. And it's not just because it's in 5/8. It's Take 5. Ba-dum,
yeah.
Ba-dum, bum,
by bum. Dave Brubeck.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
jazzy.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of interesting to just completely rip off someone.
It's slightly different.
Well, like
right?
he has done some different things with it. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that he ripped off is the beat. And it's sort of like just ripping off
Walk on the Wild Side.
yeah, or any
it's,
sort of
it's
successful
not just the
way.
Beat, though. It's the melody, too.
The piano part. Is
yeah. Although it does insane. Change. It shifts down right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, it shifts a bit.
Yeah.
And he's got his piano tuned in some
bizarre way.
Interesting setting.
Yeah. I was a little bit worried that reading about all the strange advanced music theory and, you know, non-just intonations and tunings were going to ruin the song. But I was happily surprised that they didn't.
Well, because the stuff in the foreground sounds in tune.
Hmm.
And by that, I mean, I know that, yes, it's in tune, even if it's sort of micro-tuned away or whatever. Or not even micro-tuned, but even if it's... I wish Brian was here. He would know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you could approximate this with more traditionally tuned instruments, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it was still 12-tone, right? It was just intonated differently.
Yeah, and I quite like music like that, and I listen to a lot of dissonant stuff, so this didn't really sound particularly dissonant to me. And I was wondering why I am so absolutely fine with people singing a bit out of tune or people doing this deliberate kind of thing the other day when other people, it just grates on them.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I spent 18 years going to Catholic church with lots of white people singing out of tune every week. And to get through that, you've got to develop a bit of a sense of just not worrying so much about it. But yeah, I like this kind of stuff. I like the sounds, but I didn't feel like there was a particularly strong pull in any direction, and the lyrics felt a bit last minute to me.
Yeah. I particularly loved his singing, though. Some of those, like, vocalizations on, like, Bubba and the harmonies just sounded so lush and pretty. Like, I would just close my eyes and listen to this and sort of float away. I thought it was super relaxing, and it was easy to get lost in the soundscape of it. It was just really mellow and nice, and I appreciated the sort of trippy backwards sounds at the end. And I thought, like, there was some really ambitious ideas here that I think he largely pulled off.
He's always so very adventurous and innovative and, you know, trying to come up with sort of new ideas and new things and new approaches. And I really admire that. And this, even though it is sort of a new approach and he's doing all this different stuff, it's also got a lot of stuff that sounds pretty familiar. Like you mentioned the Take 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that might just be because it's the best way to do a 5/8 song. 5/8 and 5/4 are just notoriously awkward time signatures. So if you can come up with something that sounds smooth in that time signature, then you've really scored. And
I think if you're going to be doing something where you're sort of changing intonations and stuff as well, it's kind of useful to have something that people recognize
grounding
immediately in the song.
Yeah. And here, another thing that I recognized is, it's not really there, but this sounds a lot like Vince Guaraldi. You know, sure, it sounds like Take Five, but it also sounds like Charlie Brown.
So, I don't know what that is.
Oh.
It's the Peanuts theme, or the Linus and Lucy theme, I think, is the is the common, or
that's
the most
popular.
Yeah,
that's a bigger thing in the USA than it was for me growing up.
So, I'm sorry, that's my toy piano doing some of the...
Never apologize for a toy piano.
But yeah, so it's, it reminded me a lot of Vince Guaraldi. And I think that a lot of the stuff that he's talking about, you know, bringing out of tuning, out of traditional tuning, I want to say that has to be sort of more or less relegated to the backing drone, while in the foreground we have that nice, consistent, repeating sort of Vince Guaraldi piano sound, the Take Five. And I should mention, I think, that Micah noted in an earlier podcast that sometimes exactly this happens, where an artist will find a workable groove in an unusual time signature and then just lean on it throughout the entire song. I think it works fine in this song, but that's also exactly what he's doing. He's just repeating the same sort of a groove all the way through because it works, even in this weird time signature. I think the song is really big on concept with spaceship crashes and carrot people, but it's really light on lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pleasant, but it didn't really grab me. I would definitely be interested in hearing more music like this, but maybe more as an academic exercise than like a night of musical theater, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, I'd like to see the musical just to see what he does with it. But, you know, it might be more something to just see what happens instead of get involved with the characters.
I feel like it would be something that would happen at a fringe festival rather than a whole musical show.
You think?
Yeah, something where you can be more experimental.
Absolutely.
And people will still come and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he would have been better served with putting his creative energy sort of more towards the challenge and less towards the more technical aspects.
I don't know. I don't want to call him out on that. I don't want to, you know, say anything discouraging about... I would want to be more discouraging towards cave dwellers in that way than I would want to be for Flubbubbubbub, because, you know,
they took risks.
Yeah. Cave dwellers, it's like they know what they're doing, and they are, I don't want this to sound mean, but there's kind of no way to.
Well, they'll
to
never hear it. It's in the wrong part of the podcast for them. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So Cave Dwellers is rehashing old prog rock stuff.
Yeah.
To do their
which
stuff.
Is right in their wheelhouse.
Exactly. And which they enjoy and which they're comfortable with. Flubbubbubbub is doing stuff that he's reaching out. Exactly. But also he's exploring. He's exploring his own kind of like musical directions and stuff like that.
I think wouldn't say this is in his wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think he's. Yeah. Yeah. If it is, then great. But I think this is him.
It's a weird house to be in.
Enjoying music the way that he wants to enjoy and explore and be adventurous with music.
Yeah.